I guess to start out with, I would love to know, one of the elements of the book that always fascinated me was that each chapter title is one of Mama's words. Where did you kind of look for the words? Where did the words come from? I've always been curious about that.
Well, that's a really fabulous question. The words that came as the story was being written. I spent about 4 years writing the book. It's the longest I've ever spent on a novel. It's my first really serious novel, and I had some things to learn along the way. And actually, the idea to name the chapters after Mama's words came kind of late in the process for me. And what I did is in certain chapters, there was a word that was featured for some reason, like, uh-oh, you know, something was happening, and Mama would say, uh-oh, that would be the chapter title. But in other places, I actually went back and sort of inserted words into the text to make those words, Mama's words, work. So it wasn't a completely organic process. It was more like an idea that came later in the process. And then I kind of wove it through the book.
With your background as a singer-songwriter, did saying the words impact you more? I mean, I kind of get that feeling from all your books, like even like Pie or you know, some of your other books. I feel like words sound so much better when you're reading your books. It's kind of crazy.
Oh my gosh, this is maybe my favorite interview ever. I love the questions that you're asking. You know, I like to think that all of those years that I spent singing and writing songs and paying attention to rhythm and rhyme and scansion, that they have affected my writing. I'm a slow writer, you know, and I pay a lot of attention to the way the words sound. And actually, one of the things I do when I'm writing is I always read out loud into a tape recorder and listen back. And that's one way that I can tell if my dialogue is sounding natural or if the phrase, if it trips off my tongue, great. And if it doesn't, then I usually go back and change it. So I do pay a lot of attention to the sounds of the words. And I love, you know, like, I love clean writing, so I try and write as cleanly as I can.
Well, it's definitely come out in the work. I mean, Pie is one of my favorite books, and I mean, just the thought process of sounding out your recipes have been, like, it makes you hungry listening to them.
My editor once called that pie porn.
Well, like, peanut butter raspberry cream pie sounds like the greatest thing of all time, so I don't know.
Well, you know what? It sounds great when I made it. It's pretty sweet. And that was actually, you know, the pie recipes, those pie recipes came from all across the country. That one came from a teacher in Illinois who wrote and said that she had a grandmother who was kind of losing her memory a little bit. She was baking a pie and mixed up two recipes, and that's how that pie was born.
Wow, that's fascinating. Wow. I've got to ask, as far as Bernadette, Bernie's character, what made you make her agoraphobic?
You know, that was, again, it's not a very romantic answer. It was a plot for plot, because I knew that I wanted Heidi to take that journey by herself, and Bernadette was such a loving and caring, you know, surrogate mother to Heidi. She never would have let her go by herself unless there was a reason she couldn't let her go. You know, and I toyed around with that as I was writing the book. Would Bernadette maybe, you know, try and make herself go with Heidi and there would be a problem along the way? And then I thought, no, if I really give her, you know, something that makes it impossible for her to leave, that will help Heidi to be detached long enough to go on her journey and, you know, find out what Soof means.
As far as the journey part of it, where did that yearning to have Heidi go on the journey, was that something that, have you ever kind of run away from home? I mean, like, what inspired that, the journey part of the story?
You know, I write what's called middle grade fiction, and a lot of people will say that Soviet is YA, young adult, and if I was going to say it was YA, I would say it's very young YA, because it's really for ages 10 and up, and that's really more in a range that we call middle grade, which is, you know, grades 3, 4, 5 in elementary school, and maybe 6. And I remember as a child in that age, you know, just the confusion about who I was becoming. You know, your body is changing, and your relationship with your parents is changing, and I think a lot of middle grade fiction focuses on that sort of search for self. And my theory is that people who write for young readers have arrested development wherever it is that they're drawn to write, whether they're writing, you know, YA romance, and they're probably still reliving their high school romances. For me, I am solidly a fifth grade girl. I feel like I've got a fifth grader sense of humor and many, many memories of that time, both wonderful memories and painful memories. And so that's where I always go when I'm looking for inspiration for a story. That's where I kind of reside.
When they approached you for making the movie, and Gary Williams is a scriptwriter and Steven's the director, what was it made you feel comfortable with their look into your work, and what made you excited about what they've been able to do with the film?
You know, they both said the same thing to me the first time I spoke to them. They both said to me, "We don't want to wreck your book." Mm. And I had heard so many sort of horror stories from friends who've had their books adapted, and they, you know, some people would say to me, just, you know, don't even pay and don't expect to be included. They're not going to want to talk to you or invite you to the set. They won't care about what your feelings are. Just buy a ticket at the end. Go by yourself in case you're, you know, so miserable that you have to leave because you won't like what they do. And I had such the opposite experience. It was a very loving, respectful relationship that I had with Stephen Gyllenhaal and also with Gary Williams. And Gary, the first conversation I had, he said, "I'd like you to see the first draft so that I can know what you think of it." I wasn't expecting that at all. And there were things in it that had changed, and he explained very patiently and kindly, you know, we have 90 minutes to tell the story. Some things that are in the book won't be in the story. But Mama's words came up because he had changed some of her words in the original, the very first draft of the screenplay. And I said, you know, those words, I chose them so carefully, and they matter to me, and I think they'll matter to my readers. And he said, "Oh, I'll completely change them back." He was so respectful that way. So, you know, it was just a pleasure working with them. They understood the story. They appreciated it. They didn't try and make it more sophisticated. You know, they let it be exactly what it was. And so, you know, when I see the movie, I love it. There is nothing I would change about the movie. And I really don't know any other authors who feel that way about their adaptations.
Can you tell me about the importance of Liberty, New York to you? And obviously, it's extremely important to the story.
It is. You know, I have a house up in the Catskill Mountains, not far from Liberty. I've been coming here and with my family for 30 years. I'm sitting in my living room there right now and just drove to Liberty. So I love how American it is. There are always American flags flying on every street corner, and Liberty sort of flapping in the wind. You know, there are times it's gone through some tough times, and then it's had resurgence. It's actually a pretty multicultural town, especially for this area. And I have to say, I also love the name. I mean, here's this girl who's looking for, you know, the truth about her family, and she's been sort of burdened with this question: what is, you know, what's her mother's history, and what is this mysterious word "soof" that Mama keeps saying? And so, what better place to find that than a place called Liberty? So it just kind of fit. And the story was conceived and written up here. It was inspired by an old house that I used to pass on my way to drive my kids to summer camp. And every time I went past, I'd slow down and think, it's trying to tell me some kind of a story. I know that sounds kind of strange and woo-woo, but it's the truth. You know, I often get ideas from looking at houses and trying to imagine who lives in there, what happened in there. And the idea for So Be It came from a house up here. So it seems like it's just sort of in the blood of the story. And then when we filmed in Los Angeles, I was invited to come. Gary Williams was there the whole time, and I came for a couple of weeks during the filming. And, you know, California is beautiful, but it doesn't look like the Catskills. So I said to Stephen Gyllenhaal, "Please, will you come up to the Catskills?" And he did. He brought a crew up here, and we drove around, and they fell in love with the Catskills just as I have. So there's some really beautiful footage in the film of this area where the story was actually written.
Very cool. I've got to ask, as far as casting, were there any casting choices that they made that just you felt like hit it right on the nail on top of the head? I mean, I looked at, obviously Alfie's incredible, but like, Dash was really great as Sheriff Tom. I mean, there's some great casting choices. Were there any that stood out to you that you just felt like Steven and them, they got it completely right?
Sorry, my dog's barking. Let me just let her out. Hang on a second. But, you know, it's my first movie, so I had never had any experience with the casting stuff. And, you know, I had certain people in my head, you know, who I had kind of imagined. Like I had always sort of pictured Kathy Bates as Bernadette. And, you know, there were a couple of actresses thrown in, you know, that we were discussing some were very young and beautiful, and I was like, oh, I don't picture Bernie that way. And then when Richard Hicks, the casting director, you know, let us know that it was going to be Alfred Woodard, I felt like my head was going to explode. I was so excited. What a fantastic idea. And also, it's a departure from the book, because Bernadette, I never described really what she looks like. In my mind, I always pictured her as being Native American, and the only physical description of her in the book is that she has long black hair. Because Reno, Nevada, where, you know, they're living, has a large Native American population. So I thought, well, maybe she's Native American. And by casting Alfred Woodard, not only is she just a phenomenal actress and, you know, just blows you out of the water with her performance, it also adds a depth to the story that isn't in the book. When Heidi turns to Bernadette and says, "You're not family," it means something completely different when you see those two actresses together. And then, you know, Talitha Bateman, we had the pleasure of watching, I think that was the final, I think they said there were 2,000 girls who auditioned for that part. And we thought 12 auditions. And Gary and I both, you know, independently of each other, chose Talitha. Her performance was incredible. In this little scene, it's the scene that takes place at the bus where she's lying about Shirley Temple and how she thinks, you know, she's claiming Shirley Temple dances in her kitchen and she's with Floris Leachman. And, you know, she was doing that scene and you could see in her eyes that she was lying, but she didn't do any of that sort of telltale young actor thing of overdoing it. She was so subtle. So that was incredible. And Dash, yeah, I mean, like, who doesn't love Dash? And Talitha and Dash hit it off in 2 seconds. And all of that warmth is there in the movie. So, yeah, I was thrilled with the cast.
You know, you brought up the fact that there are parts of the book that, like, you don't give explanation, you know, explanations about. Like, we don't really know what Mama's disease is. We don't even really know, like, when the story set. Like, I remember when I realized I was going to be interviewing, I looked back at the book and I was like, I never realized when this thing was set. Like, what made you take a step back in that sense and keep it so broad?
You know, I wanted, with the time period, it was something I talked with my editor about quite a lot, because, for one thing, cell phones, when I wrote the book in 2004, I forget when cell phones really became popular, but, you know, I didn't want her to be able to have in constant touch with Bernadette. And I'm not a huge electronics fan in books anyway. Too many things can get solved when you just Google it or, you know, call someone. So I wanted very much for her to be out of touch. And the other thing is that I wanted it to feel a little bit timeless. I mean, their world is so different from everyone else's that I didn't wanted to have a feeling in the book that, you know, you're kind of in another world. So it feels a little timeless. And often when kids, I get a lot of emails from kids who are doing book reports saying, what year did this take place? And I say, it took place in the present. Mm. You know, the present then, and a lot of that can sort of feel like it could be the present now too. So that was very much on purpose. In terms of Mama's situation, her challenges, I didn't want to give it a name because sometimes things are a little amorphous, you know, and you don't know exactly what it is. And one of the first conversation I had with Steve and Jill and Molly said, you know, I got to ask you, what's wrong with Mama? And I said, you know, I don't really know. I never said. And he says, oh, that is not going to fly in Hollywood. You have to give it a name. And he said, we have to be able to tell Jessica Collins, oh man, another incredible actor. I love her portrayal of Mama. And every time I see the film, she just brings me to tears at pretty much every scene. It was a phenomenal performance. And so, you know, we talked about, well, maybe she has fetal alcohol syndrome. I felt strongly that she did not have autism. Autism is a completely different kind of thing, and she's so warm and connected to Heidi and Bernadette. She doesn't have the that affect that sometimes happens with people on the spectrum where they have difficulty connecting with people. Mama doesn't have that. So one time I was visiting a junior high school, I think it was in Tennessee, and a girl came up to me and she said, I really love that book because that's my sister. And I said, well, tell me a little bit about it. And, you know, it actually did have a name. I can't remember what it was, but she said her sister's syndrome had something to do with, like, being almost overly friendly. You know, that you didn't pull back from that. So, I don't know. I like to think it doesn't really have a name.
Obviously, your book's been around for a long time. And, I mean, like you said, you took 4 years to write it. What's it mean that the movie's coming out now in a very different time, and what do you hope that young people who go see this movie grasp, not only from the movie, but hopefully when they maybe go and get the book and realize that the book's just as powerful.
Well, you know, I hope that it's not going to feel like it's dated. I mean, it was written in 2004, so it has been around a while. But as I said, I tried to, you know, sort of make it be as if it could be present day. And I think, you know, we're still struggling with the same things we were struggling with when I wrote it, about defining families. You know, what is the quote-unquote normal family? You know, and Heidi's family is a wonderful family. It's just not particularly typical. You know, so I hope that kids will appreciate that, and that it will make them feel more comfortable, maybe if they don't live in a traditional family. When the book first came out, I remember that sometimes it was banned. In some of the schools that I visited, they would ban the book. And the first time it happened, I said, I don't understand, you know, what is the problem? And the librarian said, well, we have a vocal parent who's concerned about the fact that, you know, Heidi was born out of wedlock.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, I didn't even think about that, you know. I was really surprised by that. And it happened then, in 2004. It hasn't happened since. You know, it hasn't been something that people have asked about, and no child has ever asked me that question, ever. You know, it's much more coming from a parent, overly concerned parent.
Wow, that's so fascinating. So, like you said, it's glad it hasn't happened again. That's great.
Yeah.
I've got to ask, you have so many books that you've written. If there was a book that you would love to see on screen other than this one, you know, what would you choose? Or is there anything is there other books that you're going to be able to make? I mean, how does that process work, I guess?
Well, after Gary and I worked together on the screenplay, I mean, it's Gary's screenplay, but he was very welcoming. In terms of welcoming into the process. And after we finished filming So Be It, I said to him, I really want to do this again, and I want to work on the screenplay. I want to, you know, work with you on the screenplay. Would you do that? He said, sure. So we did Pi. So we have done an adaptation of Pi, which I really hope will, you know, be produced one of these days. I think it would make a wonderful movie for that middle grade audience. And, you know, what I feel is like that audience is kind of ignored in a way. If you think about the movies that kids that age in fourth and fifth grade want to see, they don't necessarily want to see superhero movies or movies where there's blood and guts and, you know, and too much drama, you know, but it doesn't mean that they want to see funny, silly movies either, or only those movies. So I'm hoping that, you know, with So Be It, that maybe that will blaze a trail a little bit for movies that are for that particular age, as well as grown-ups. You know, with So Be It, one surprising thing was our rating. We got a PG-13 rating. And I was on the committee to help try and appeal that rating. And it was a very frustrating experience for me because they had 12 people who went and watched the movie, and they came in, and I had my little speech already, and they said, oh, no, we've already made up our minds. This is definitely PG-13. And I said, but why? You know, the book is for 10 and up. And you know, there's nothing in the movie that isn't in the book. And they said, well, it's so emotional. I said, okay, but have you read the book? The book is so emotional. Kids cry, and they write to me about it, or teachers write and say, oh, I cried when I read it to my class. And they said, oh, we just feel so strongly. And they said, and it's a compliment. This is a compliment to you that it's a PG-13 movie, because adults will love it. You don't have to go with a kid. So I try to hold on to that idea that it's a compliment, but I'm also concerned about my 10-year-old readers, and I hope that they'll be able to come. You know, you can be any age and go to a PG-13 movie, but I'm just worried that PG-13 might carry a message that is not true about the movie. There's no sex or violence or drugs, you know, that's in that movie that PG-13 might suggest.
Do you mind if I ask then, because that's so fascinating, and that's something that I think that plagues so many writers and filmmakers about their projects. Compared to the book world, does the film world, in that sense, is that one of the big hindrances in diving headfirst into doing that type of work and sticking with, you know, the world that you've obviously, you know, 50 plus books, you know, so well, and you know, the politics are behind are so different?
Well, you know, as I said, this is my first film, so I'm learning as I'm going. One thing I feel has happened since I started working on this, is that we keep opening new doors. You know, I mean, I'm working pretty closely with our distributor, Good Deed Entertainment, and they've included me because our movie is smaller, you know, had a smaller budget and all that. They've included me in things, and I think they were not really anticipating how excited my readers would be about the movie. So, you know, we're having like a Seuss contest, and kids are making me Seuss, and they're coming flooding in, and they want to be ambassadors for the movie. And so, you know, I feel like the outreach has been really successful in that regard, and I think my people in Hollywood are a little surprised, you know, that, they thought, the kids won't, you know, necessarily come to the theater. Yeah, they will. They will, and they are, so that's kind of exciting. Another thing I should just pop in here, just because I'm so relieved to be able to share this news, I just finished writing the sequel, So Be It. It's a book I swore I would never, ever write. I didn't want to continue that story, really, but people kept asking me, you know, what happened to those characters? And I said, you know, they're fictional. They didn't, like, go on and get married and get jobs and stuff, you know, like, they're fictional characters. And they said, yeah, but what happened to them? So the sequel is called Soof. S-O-O-F, and it is the answer to the question, what happened after the end of So Be It? And this one took 3 years to write. I think I cried more while I was writing this book than ever. I felt so much pressure to follow So Be It, but I have to say I'm very, very proud of it, and it'll be coming out fall 2018.
Wow, that is so cool. Wow, thank you for sharing that with me. Wow, that's so cool.
Of course.
Well, I mean, that was my next question.
Did I answer your previous question well enough? I feel like I sort of skirted off of that.
No, you definitely did. Because, like you said, it's new. I loved your answer. And, wow, thank you for sharing the sequel. That's so cool. Wow, you've kind of robbed me of my last question. So I guess I'll throw out a fun question.
Okay.
Who do you admire as writers? Like, what authors do you read or do you love keeping up with in their work?
I love writers like Cynthia Lord and Pam Munoz Ryan and Barbara O'Connor. They're, you know, those people like me, they really respect that middle grade audience. So, I love to read their writing. I also teach writing in, at Teachers College in Columbia University in New York City and at the New School, downtown. And I've had some wonderful writers come out of my program, like Lisa Graff, who I think is just a fantastic middle grade writer, and Suzanne LaFleur. There are lots of authors that I admire. I don't read a lot of adult fiction. I find I don't have patience for it because you get kind of spoiled when you read young adult and middle grade fiction because the emotions are right there on the surface, kind of like they are with the kids, you know. They're not tough and hiding behind things. And I really love that genre. So I read a lot of middle grade fiction.
Well, I can't wait to reintroduce myself to my younger self when I get to read your sequel coming out next year. And Sarah, thank you so much for the time. Thank you for everything you've done writing wise, and I hope you keep making movies, and I can't wait to read the sequel.
I hope so, too. And, you know, I hope that next time we talk, we'll be talking about Pi, the movie, because I really think it would be fun to do. And I have to say, what fantastic questions. Thank you so much. It was just a pleasure to talk to you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful rest of your day. Okay. And bye.
Bye.